Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Actually,
here's John Williams.
I think we were both thinking the same big thought. Hi, it's John. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio here till 3 on Saturdays till noon.
Lord have mercy.
Saturdays, our show goes 10 a.m. until 12 noon. I hope you enjoy us then. It's me, Griffin Filipich, Doma T. Pongo, that Joe Brand. He's just a delight. That's our Saturday show, however. Tomorrow is Saturday. Someone's going to do the show. Is it Pete McMurray? Is it Dean Richards? I'm not sure who's doing the Saturday show. I'm not sure it's me. And I mean, I'm sure it's not me because I'm going to be at the college, at Elgin Community College, up on that Blizzard stage for the Teddy Roosevelt show. About 40 tickets left, and I'm going to give away a pair in just a second here. Before we get to any of that, though, here's today's News Click. We ask you a daily web poll question at WGNradio.com. We also post that on my social media, where I am WGN King John. Here's today's News Click question.
Is it too early for Christmas music? A, yes. B, no.
Well, that's a tough one. I'm going to have to go no. Final answer. I know this is going to tear up our community. Families will be ripped asunder. I think I know what Elif's answer to this is. Actually, I don't know what your answer to this is. Where are you on this one, Elif?
First, I want to know what you guessed.
It's good. Well, I know Violetta says it's not too early. I know Bertrand says it's always too early. I say it's not too early this year. I think you're a bit of a purist. I think you're post-Thanksgiving.
Wait, for Christmas
music? Christmas music.
Yeah, you're right. I'm post-Thanksgiving, like the day after Thanksgiving.
Crank it up then.
Yeah, I'm with Elif on this.
Oh, okay, okay.
I mean, I love Christmas music, but I do think that early November, that's a lot of Christmas music. And they don't save the good ones for, like, I heard a goodie this morning. I'm like, you got to save, you know, All I Want for Christmas
is You.
Later, yeah. You know, it's too soon. Play the not so likable ones now.
Right. Go ahead and burn those off now and save the good stuff for when we really are steeped in the season.
Yeah.
I still. Well, this is just reminiscent of our ongoing conversation about the Hallmark Channel. And to me, particularly this year, since everybody's just so anxious, it would be nice to have anything that sort of alleviates that. So if it's bad movies from the Hallmark Channel or the occasional carol playing at the mall or in your ear somehow, this year I'm gonna give it an early pass. That's just me, though. I don't know. Dave Hochberg's on line 7. Hi, Dave. You're on the air. Hello.
Hey, John. How are you guys?
Pretty good. Do you play Christmas music in your house?
Yeah. In a Jewish household, we start Christmas music the day before Halloween, just to get in the spirit. We play Hanukkah songs and all type of holiday songs. We want to be the first one in our neighborhood.
Here's what we've got now. Remember, Monday. You have given us the use of your suite for John Williams, WGN Radio listeners at the United Center for the 7:30 game, right?
Yes, 7 o'clock game. Again, it starts at 7. So if you get there at 7:30, you will have missed 30 minutes of the game. So for some reason, you like saying 7:30, but it starts at 7. So for the winners, make sure you're there by 7.
John's going to get there late. I might miss the dessert cart, for crying out loud. So we're at the United Center Monday night, 7 o'clock. Get there a little early if you like. Make sure that you stay for the dessert cart. You've generously given us your tickets again for John and David's excellent adventure. Here's how you sign up. Just go to my Facebook page. You'll see the video. We've pinned it to the top. If you share it, you're automatically registered. Anybody that shares or likes it between now and 3 o'clock has a chance to win. We have limited seating, but we're going to give every ticket we got in the joint. So bring a friend, and please go to WGNradio.com. No, go to my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John. Is that all we need to know right now, David?
That's all you need to know. Delicious macaroni and cheese, hot dogs, dessert cart, and cool beverages, refreshing beverages, and popcorn.
Excellent.
So you don't only get to see a basketball game, but you get food and refreshments and good time.
Yeah, and my company, Elif, is going to be there, if I'm not mistaken. David's going to be there, David?
Yeah, I'm going to be there. Me, you, Elif, and and your listeners. It's going to be a great time.
Okay. So WGN's website, don't go there. Go to my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John on Facebook. And if you share or like the post at the top, then you'll automatically be registered. We'll let you know if you win right after the show at 3. All right, Mr. H, nice to talk to you. Thank you for your very generous. We'll have some fun Monday night.
You got it, buddy. Have a great day. Bye.
Okay. Speaking of giving stuff away, let's do this right now. I've got a pair of tickets to see Teddy Roosevelt tomorrow, 10:30. You have to answer the following trivia question about Teddy Roosevelt. This will ensure that it goes to somebody who is either a Roosevelt fan and deserves the tickets or is good on the internet. What was the name of Teddy Roosevelt's daughter that gave him nothing but fits? TR's famous daughter who gave him nothing but fits. First person with the right answer at 312-981-7200 wins tickets to see Teddy tomorrow in Elgin at 10:30. Don't win them if you can't use them. Speaking of presidents, Steve, I hate to put you on the spot like this. We don't have to talk about this much, but I know there was a rope line where the reporters were shouting questions to the president today, asking him how long Jim Acosta was going to be in timeout. He said, well, we'll see, but he might not be the only one that is there. And then he said that the notion that the video was doctored of Acosta wrestling with that microphone with an intern is more fake news. He said that it was not doctored. He said they zoomed in on it, but they didn't doctor it. I honestly don't think he knew that, in fact, it appears that this video is speeded up 20% on the post that the White House put out. And it was doctored in just about every way you can. It was zoomed in, repeated, and sped up. That's doctoring.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, John. If he didn't know, then you say, I don't know. He said something very different than that.
Nobody manipulated it. Give me a break. See, that's just dishonest reporting. All that is a close-up. See, that's just... that is just dishonest reporting. I watched that. I heard that last night. They made it close up. They showed it close up.
That doesn't sound like someone who thinks maybe he doesn't know the answer. And it's been pretty uniformly reported, right, by many experts that the video released was doctored. I don't think it's in question.
Well, and then the version I saw, you see blood spewing from her arm and she's carted away.
Oh, quit it. This is serious. This is a very serious thing.
Yeah, really? I'm trying to figure out how serious it is.
Because the White House press secretary released a doctored video in this era when they are complaining about fake news. She was behind a piece of fake news. Not only that, John, you know from covering the technology and stuff, we are moving into an era now where it's going to be very difficult to detect what's real and what's not in video. Yeah. And here's the White House and now the president standing behind what is clearly fake video. It is a big deal. Stop it. It is.
How is this different than the 1,000 lies, literally, they told in October?
Well, right. That was a big deal too.
I know. That's I'm hearing
but
you out,
no, I
Steve,
think, but you know, I, but I'm, I think I do think this is different for her to release this to
it
share
is it is more than an exaggeration or him saying the same untrue thing at 8 stump rallies before the election, and that got the meter going a lot on his lies.
It's one thing to say I don't know the acting attorney general. It's very different to say here's a video of what happened when it was clearly doctored and is not what happened.
You know, I hear you on that. But, and here's why it feels different to me now that you mentioned that, Steve, is that when the president is just spewing his stuff and cranking with his thumbs, you hear me, right? I'm like, that's what we've got, right? I'm mad at Acosta for asking that question because I'm just so used to Trump is Trump. But when it comes from the White House and it's Sarah Sanders, and it's his technology people, and it's the resources that they have, and they maintain, they put forward that they that this is a legitimate video. That's another level of deceit.
Two things: one is they didn't create the video, right? It came from a contributor to a right wing website, so it's not as if they were behind that. But the other thing is, and he does this, and they do this. They created this. Well, they didn't. They co-opted this phrase fake news, and that's how they put down people who report things they don't like. They call it fake news. What she shared is fake news. It is fabricated video made to look as if it was the reality. It is fake news.
But it's, you know, here it just does seem a little silly to me, because we all saw what happened. And what they are doing, Steve, is they didn't manipulate it that much.
What?
They did not manipulate it that much. They zoomed in. They showed the tussle multiple times, and the great manipulation of it is that by 20%, they sped up the tussle to make it look more aggressive on Acosta's
part. Okay, well, let's use that as a headline. The White House released a video that they didn't manipulate that much.
Well, hey, buddy, I'm trying to figure out what box to put this in, right? I mean, so you think about the things that have not been getting a sufficient amount of attention. Domati's story about the fire in California, the 12 people that were shot in the bar in California, the attorney general tussle, what's Mueller up to, et cetera, et cetera. Listen, I'm as transfixed as anybody by this Acosta thing, but I think this almost feels silly because I'm so used to this behavior.
Okay, well, then, and you can say that in a different way, that you're so used to them lying or being untruthful that it doesn't matter to you that much anymore. And that's a problem, too. I get that. I understand that. But that's where we are, and that's not a good place.
I'm looking at the resume for this Whitaker guy, who could be the acting or is the acting attorney general, and that's worthy of a lot of discussion. And yet, I just kind of threw up my hands and thought, what do you expect? What do you expect? The president was with him before, has spoken to him before, now says he didn't know him. I honestly believe he doesn't remember having met him.
But there's video of him talking to Fox News about how much he knows him and what a great guy he is.
But here again, Steve, he says that sort of thing all the time. You have met people who you do not remember meeting. And if I would ask you, do you know that person? You might say, no, I don't know them. And then I could find a video of you talking to that person. If those are the kinds of lies that don't exercise me that much.
Okay, I understand that. But again, he was on Fox News. He was on the phone, and he talked about how he knows this guy and what a great guy he is.
Words.
Okay?
Words. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
And then today he said, I don't really know this guy.
Yeah.
So one of them is not... I mean, you could say, I don't really know him, or you could say, you know, I'm just getting to know him or whatever. But there's reporting that because he and Sessions couldn't be in the same room, that this guy often was the guy who would represent Sessions at the White House.
They should start.
But this is a minor. This is a minor one ish. It's not like releasing all doctored video.
Okay.
But it's still the sort of thing that shouldn't be happening.
There's a question among the major news outlets about whether or not they should do a mass walkout, you know, because if he's going to go after Acosta, and he said he's not done with CNN, then he might also go after the New York Times and the Washington Post. Anybody that's, you know, a thorn in his side, and Lord, it's them if it's anybody. So maybe they should right now nip it in the bud. The press corps is actually thinking about that, but they haven't done anything about it.
Well, it's the same press corps who complained that there weren't enough briefings. So, I mean, are they going to flex their muscle by not going to the briefings? I don't know how that helps.
It's 120 on WGN. By the way, who is our winner, Ms. Garris? Is it Laurel on line one? Hey, Laurel, this is John. How are you?
I'm doing great, John. How are you doing?
Oh, my God. I love that enthusiasm. Are you excited to come to our show?
I sure am.
Oh, have you been to see Roosevelt or Jefferson when we do these stage conversations?
I have not. This is the first time I am free. I was going to call you later today. Anyway, my bright side is that after 42 years as a registered nurse, I am retiring next week. So I have a weekend off.
And are you excited about that or a little terrified by not having...
I am excited.
I'm picking that up. All right, so here's what we've got. Ella's got some ticket information for you. I'm going to put you on hold for one more second, wrap it up with her off the air, and you're going to have a delight. Find a friend, bring a kid, bring your spouse, whatever, and you'll walk into that thing kind of like, oh, now what is this? And you're going to walk away an advocate for what you just saw.
Great. Thanks, John.
Okay, hold the line. Yeah, it's I'm happy for her. I'm happy for you. The last of the tickets, a few dozen, are available at WGNradio.com/events. We're on the stage at 10:30 tomorrow morning. So if you've been holding off and thought, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be busy Saturday, and you can go. It's at the Blizzard Theater at Elgin Community College. Teddy Roosevelt and I on stage. The topic is leadership. Who knew? It's 121. This is WGN.
Simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
Hey!
Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The choir of children sing their songs.
John, Christmas music before Thanksgiving is as bad as some of those people that leave up their Christmas lights in April. That's from 847.
Yeah, I don't have to go put them up now.
815 said, I'm with you, John. If we ever needed Christmas music, we need it now. 312, it's way too early. Is it December 26th yet? John, yes, it's too early, says 815. 224 said, too early for decorations? No. Too early for Christmas music? Yes. 219, John, way too early for Christmas music. All right, then I'll stop.
Do you think that we overreacted about the snow a little bit yesterday?
Yeah, we lost our minds, didn't we? I got up this morning.
It's a beautiful day out.
I thought, oh boy, I got a shovel. And I actually see blue and gray and white clouds out my window.
Well, I went home and had, what, about 30, 40 minutes of daylight left. So I made two passes over my yard. Oh, here we go with the mower. Mowing up my leaves to get them all out to the curb before the snow came.
Yeah.
Mr. Environment over here.
It did snow a little bit this morning at my place.
Well, yeah, I know. It would be
just a wet kind of and melted right away.
Right, and they'll be all the leaves would be all wet today anyways.
But there would be about an inch and a half, according to some meteorologists.
I think some people got a couple inches, John.
Oh, did y'all?
Yeah,
did y'all get to, did it pile up where some of you folks live?
I believe so.
Yeah. How about that? It's 126. Let's talk to Brian. I think that's Brian on line three. Hey, Brian, this is John. You're on the air. What can we do for you?
What I got to say is I don't understand why everyone's making such a big deal about this video. But whether you fast forward or slow it down, bottom line is she grabbed for the mic. He wasn't happy about it, so he put his arm down on top of hers to try and push it away. And you can see the mic getting pulled towards her when he pushed her arm down. So, which means he used force to try and do it. So, regardless if it was fast forward or slow down, he still used force to try and get her arm off of the mic.
Yeah. That's funny because if you say, well, was the force directed at her, I would disagree with that. First of all, it all happened within about a second and a half amount of time.
The president also said today that his words weren't, it wasn't that big of a deal, but he said, you know, I saw what he did. It sounds like the punishment wasn't related to that.
Brian, thank you for the call. In fact, yeah, that's an interesting point, Steve. This is, let's just play this clip and then we'll go to the news after this, Elif. But this is the president on Acosta, and he's essentially throwing Jim Acosta a bone.
The taped video of Acosta? All that was, nobody manipulated it. Give me a break. See, that's just dishonest reporting. All that is a close-up. See, that is just dishonest reporting.
Wait for it.
I watched that. I heard that last night. They made it close up. They showed it close up. And he was not nice to that young woman. I don't hold him for that because it wasn't overly, you know, horrible. But it was. But all that was when you say doctor.
So he doesn't, you know, he doesn't hold him for that. It wasn't overly horrible. So that's the president saying, you know, what Acosta did to the intern was not that bad. He's still ticked, though, about the accusation that the video was manipulated. And I don't know how you decide that it wasn't. If you play the actual video and the video the White House posted side by side, that action is 20% slower in actuality than they showed it. Okay, we'll pause. The news is next. And then what are the top spots to see, things to do, places to visit in Chicago and Illinois? I'm not asking for nothing. We've got a question to ask you about that coming up on WGN. By the way, did our winner on our Roosevelt ticket thing say Alice? I hope he did, because that was the right answer. I know he knew. He did tell Elif that off the air if I didn't ask it on the air. And about our Paul McCartney song that we played just a moment ago, 630 just texted, it's always too early for that Paul McCartney Christmas song.
Wow.
Wowzers. That's a tough one for the McCartneys. The difference I saw in a graphic a moment ago between the Senate election results in Florida was 19,000. Boy, they're going back and forth on that between that Rick Scott, the Republican, and Bill Nelson. Scott has 50.1, Nelson 49.9. It might actually as a percentage be even closer than that. Yeah, but this vote total here shows 4.080 million versus 4.095 million. So that's about 15,000 votes separating the two.
Every 15,000 votes matters.
You know, it's funny because that is a percentage is so close. To me, 15,000, another vote difference this week was 60,000. And statistically, it was very close. But 60,000, on the other hand, sounds like a lot of votes to me, too. It's like, where do you find 60,000 missing ballots or mismarked or miscounted ballots?
Right.
The fact that ballots continue to come up is not shocking to me or proof that there's something afoot. I know that things should be more instantaneous, but Northwest Indiana had trouble, and that's just the way human beings handle it sometimes.
McHenry County had trouble.
So I'm not too worried about... plus, the fact that you can vote from overseas, that you can vote early, there's just a number of ways for votes to be gathered, and I don't know how they do it all, but if we don't have it instantaneously, I'm more interested in getting it right than getting it early or getting it right now.
And I think it's also because it's so close. You know, a lot of times these races are done long before these ballots are counted just because there's 5% or 3% or 1% separating them,
yeah,
not a tenth of a point.
Yeah, literally 0.18 percentage of a point is the difference in the Florida Senate race. So we'll keep you posted on what's happening there. I know Steve is following that. Steve is supposed to come to my house for dinner tonight. Now I don't know if he's going to because
Why?
I've not been very nice to him.
Oh, you've been fine. I hope I've been nice enough to you.
Well, so
we just don't agree on something.
A lot of texts say things like this. Steve, this is from 847. And again, I was just arguing that while this video of Jim Acosta and the intern from the White House is distressing to us all, I continue to struggle with how important is it in terms of all of the news or, for that matter, all of the lies. When the president tells 1,000 lies in a month, then where is this one? And Steve's been arguing that it's pretty significant what's happened here in the last couple of days. Steve, you are always the voice of reason. Good for you. This is very important, capital letters. Please continue to stand up and explain what is right and wrong. Our news is not fake. We desperately need people to understand that. You are right. This is not funny. Thank you, Steve, for always trying to let people know what is true. Thank you for that email. John, this one says, I think the point of Acosta's situation is the disrespect that he showed to the office of the presidency. 708 said, I think it's wrong because the fake video was used to suspend Acosta's credentials. The president's lies are abnormal behavior and should never be normalized. A few of you pointed out that another way they manipulated it was that they took the audio out of the video that the White House posted.
He said something like, pardon me, ma'am.
Pardon me, ma'am. And it was not an aggressive action. If anybody thinks that what Acosta did toward the intern was an aggressive action, then you need to get out more. Watch TV. You'll find aggressive action. And what Acosta did was not. A couple of you wondered if that wasn't, in fact, the same intern that escorted the young man standing behind the president at a rally off the stage. Do you remember that? The one kid that was standing behind the president with his two friends, and he was making silly faces as the president was speaking, and this lovely woman comes out and taps him on the shoulder and then stands there and starts cheering. Looked a little bit like this young lady, too. 815, John, it is not okay. And just one more, many like this. The problem is exactly what John said. That's Trump being Trump. This is a problem because he keeps getting this brush off. Trump is not being held accountable at all. I feel sorry for Steve having to try to explain that to John. So thank you for your text messages.
I wrote half of those. I've got unlimited data.
I'll bet you didn't. So you remember yesterday when I was telling you that I was clicking around, or I don't know how I got it, but there was this one travel website that sent a list to me of the most disappointing destinations around the world? You guys remember that conversation,
yep,
right?
Was the Statue of Liberty on it?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that is.
So if you're going to New York, should you go to the Statue of Liberty?
No. It's the same as the Eiffel Tower, really. Go get a look.
Say it again?
It's like the Eiffel Tower. Give it a good look, but don't go there. You don't have to go there.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Ellis Island, how about that? Should you go to Ellis Island?
Well, that's different. I've never been there.
Yeah.
But I hear it's great.
You should.
I want to go there.
Ellis Island is worth the trip.
It's not Ellis Island.
Okay, so the world's most disappointing travel destinations, Taj Mahal 1, the Eiffel Tower 2. I think you should see the Eiffel Tower and get on it. Bertrand disagrees. We've both been to it. The Great Wall of China is 3. I don't know. If I'm in China and they say, hey, you want to go to the Great Wall of China? It's a 9-hour bus trip. I'm thinking, why am I in China? Yeah.
I'm kind of with you on that.
But I've not been there. So if you've been to the Great Wall of China, tell me why that's number 3 on the list of disappointing international destinations, because I have no plans to be there. But I don't know how that's the number 3 most disappointing destination.
I wonder if it's because that person who thinks that didn't walk the Wall of China, Wall of China.
I'm assuming that they were there. I mean, otherwise, what's the point? You know what's number?
I mean, I'm wondering if they just stood there and looked instead of walking a mile.
Well, I think the problem with this is that when you get to the Great Wall of China, you say, wow, look at this thing. It goes on for quite a ways. What are you going to do, walk 1,100 miles? No. So you're going to it is a wall through the woods. But I think, like the Eiffel Tower or the Statue of Liberty, it's this historic thing. Mm-hmm. Think about the years it's been there and the importance that it has and what it represents. So I think that's why you go to the Great Wall of China.
And how it was made.
Yeah, really. I mean, just the whole... Well, you know what else is on this list is the pyramids of Giza, Egypt. They say that with the pollution that the city has, it's... you can't touch the Sphinx. You can't climb up the pyramids like you used to. So that's unfortunate. But if I was anywhere near the pyramids, I'd say, yeah, let's take the bus out there. Venice, Italy is on the list because of the water pollution and because of the tourists.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Have you been?
Venice doesn't even sound like a destination for me for those reasons.
It's one of those things where, and Sharon and I agreed, we've been there, and it's like, okay, you see it. So you understand it, and there's no reason to ever go back.
Central Park, USA, is number 4 on the list.
Here's what I think about that one, though. I think people have these expectations that are just hard to achieve, because something like Central Park, it's a big park. What do you expect? What more do you expect?
A text has just poured in from somebody who was at the Eiffel Tower, and it says, Eiffel Tower... Loved the surrounding park, loved seeing it, didn't love going in, but would have regretted not doing it. Definitely wouldn't do it again.
Right.
But definitely.
It's one of those tourists. It's a literal tourist trap. You have to do it. By the way, I just Googled the Great Wall. Just so you know, it opens at 7:30 in the morning.
That's wrong.
That's what it says.
Santorini Island, Greece, is on this list.
Oh, come on.
Santorini. You know, here's the thing. They say, no, don't go there. There's too many people there. You know why there's a lot of people there? Because it's really awesome. That's why it's... Santorini is maybe like the Eiffel Tower for that previous texture. You will regret not having gone there. Having gone there, you won't go back because, yeah, it's work. But it's really cool. The narrow, winding streets through the tight towns and villages of Europe is charming to me. And it's work. There's cobblestones. You'll slip and fall sometimes. It's not always easy, but otherwise go to the mall. You know, go to Wisconsin if that's not what you want. I mean, come on. Yosemite National Park is 13. The Trevi Fountain in Italy is 14. You can skip the Trevi Fountain. Honolulu, USA. Honolulu is number 15 on the most disappointing destinations. I lived there for 4 years in grade school. And when I went back as an adult with my family years later, I was so disappointed. It was so much prettier to me. It felt like home. And when I went there as a tourist, I was really disappointed just in the meh of Honolulu. Steve, what do you think of this one? The Blarney Stone is 16 on the list.
You should go to the Blarney Stone because there's a really good souvenir store across the parking lot.
Are you serious?
Yeah, the Blarney Woolen Mills. It's probably the biggest one.
Oh, gosh. Yes. is that where that is? I mean, yeah. I've been there. I didn't remember that's where it was.
Yeah. So that's where you can get all your scarves and sweaters in one stop. But as far as the Blarney Castle, you know, we send groups there because people want to go, but...
I was there. Was glad I went. And by the way, you're right. So go to the Blarney Castle, kiss the Blarney Stone where you lay upside down on the top of this castle and stick your head in a hole and kiss this old stone. That's what you do. But really, what you're going to appreciate is the great value on beautiful sweaters at the store next door.
Yeah.
That's the place to go.
Although, be careful. I did buy a scarf there that fell apart.
I have a question. I have a guess. Is Stonehenge on that list?
Yes.
Okay.
And why do you think that?
Because people...
It's just rocks.
Yeah, because people just see rocks instead of thinking about the history of it.
I'll get you to it real quick. Statue of Liberty 17. Harrods, the department store in England, is on there.
Oh.
Hollywood Walk of Fame is 19. I totally believe that.
Yeah.
But Stonehenge makes an appearance. They say it's smaller than people think. And after you see the rocks, there's not a lot to do there.
Yeah, but it's so cool.
People should reflect go there.
I just had 100 people at Stonehenge.
Yeah, how did they like it?
I think they liked it. Now, you're going to go in May, and you're not going to Stonehenge.
Only because I will be disappointed for not having been there. Maybe it's like the Eiffel Tower for some people. You want to have seen it, but you wouldn't go back.
Right.
They say it's crowded. You want to be there at night when the shadows are cast. It's very crowded when that happens.
I'd give it a thumbs up.
I think it sounds cool. I want to go there even if it is a bus.
Okay, so let's do this for Chicago then. Are you ready? Top-rated tourist attractions in Illinois. I have it for Illinois and Chicago as well. The Willis Tower Sky Deck. Absolutely, right? That's one way to appreciate our architecture. I would say, yes, you should do that. Millennium Park and Cloud Gate. I would put that as in my personal number one in Chicago.
Wait, are you saying things that are underrated or overrated, or are you listing things that people should do?
I'm listing things that people do. These are the top destinations. And the question for you all is, would you recommend this to people coming into the city? So if Willis Tower Sky Deck is on the list, I would say yes, go to the Sky Deck. You know, you're not going to spend all day there anyway. It's an hour of your time and about $20, but I think it's worth it. Millennium Park, Cloud Gate, 100% free. It's large. It's different. It's accessible. You know, you got to find a way to get there. You can't park there. But you're in Chicago. I would say absolutely Millennium Park. I would put that as the number one destination for me. Overrated or underrated things to do in the city and state. So I have this list. We'll finish it in a minute. And you can be part of the conversation. Okay, couple calls, couple of texts. So just Violetta, Kevin's, I don't know if Kevin's paying attention over there or not. Steve Ellis. So Magnificent Mile in Chicago is listed as one of the top things to do in Chicago. And I don't even know what that means. I don't think that's such an obvious. What are you going to do? Walk up and down State Street or Michigan Avenue?
And do what? Shop?
I know. I don't think the shopping is a destination in Chicago on Michigan Avenue. All those stores that you see are at malls. I love Michigan Avenue. Listen, I'm the biggest fan of downtown. I've been working here for 20 years. But I don't. If you came to Chicago for the express purpose of doing the Mag Mile, you would be disappointed. Lucky for you that Millennium Park is right over there or that you're near Navy Pier. Number four on the list of things to do in the state is the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum. I wholeheartedly agree with that. Number five is Navy Pier. Navy Pier, as I understand it, is the number one destination for tourists.
That's terrible.
And when's the last time either of you went to Navy Pier?
Not long ago, like 2 months ago.
I think it's the number one because all that means is that's the one thing where most people go, or that's the
that's all.
And it's only because it's there.
Okay. I love the lake view though.
Oh, well, now suddenly we're falling in love with Navy Pier.
No, I like walking along Navy Pier. I don't like going in it. It just drives me nuts.
Okay, so about a month ago, for this very purpose, not this conversation, but to say, is Navy Pier changed? I went over there and did the complete walk and tour of Navy Pier. You do not know how many boats there are, boat tours, the speed boats, the tour boats, the water taxis, one of those large sail ships that about 100 people get on, and they take you out to the lake on a big sailing ship. It's kind of cool. There's a bunch of, you know, Harry Carey's type restaurants there, you know, and vendors. That Ferris wheel is cool. Sometimes there's an activity going on there. There's theater and music and things.
Okay, the Ferris wheel, I completely agree with you on.
And the view is so good of the city, looking south or north. So, you know, don't go there if you don't want. Here's all I'm telling you. I was pleasantly surprised. I had such a nicer time than I thought I was going to at Navy Pier. LF's given me the break sign. Okay, and we do have to break. It's 1:57. We'll continue this conversation next week because I'm just kind of intrigued by all of this. And, you know, every now and then it does us good to sort of reflect or take note of what we've got.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Hi.
Here's John Williams.
It's John. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We're here until 3 Saturdays. You can usually hear my show from 10 a.m. until 12 noon. Remember, on social media, it's WGN King John. Social media, I'm WGN King John. On Facebook, we've got some fun stuff going on, and we also do a news click. That's a daily web poll question where we ask you about some current event in the news, and then you get to sound off on it. For instance, yesterday's news click asked you this. We said, White House has suspended CNN reporter Jim Acosta's press pass. You had two options. A, as they should, or B, they should not suspend his press credential. And 91% of you said that the White House should not do that. Our new news click is about the all-important question, too early for Christmas music? You have two options, yes and yes. Yes and no. And I don't know what the early going on that one is. Anybody want to handicap that? How's that one going to go? How is that one going to break down? I think more people are going to say, yes, it's too early for Christmas music. But when you hear a song, you get a little lighter in your feet, and your heart goes pitter-pat, and your day just has one less care when you hear a Christmas song.
That the Paul McCartney song is my favorite.
Simply Heaven, Wonderful Christmas Time.
Yeah.
Is that why when I said, come out with a Christmas song, we found that one all of a sudden?
Mm-hmm.
Well, why not? You got to play your favorite Christmas song. John, it's not too early to put up Christmas lights. Just don't turn them on. That is a good point. And about the Jim Acosta intern White House brouhaha that continues into day, I think, 3 now. John, if anyone is disrespecting the office of the president, it's the president himself. A couple of you said you only read one text from somebody who said it's the president that's disrespecting the White House. That's because most of you are saying that it is a big deal. And that that it was Jim Acosta who did not show enough respect to the president. Most of you are saying the opposite, that it's the president that needs to show more respect to the office. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, so just some of those. Oh, and then this one. Here it is. 224. John, I'm confused. Did she doctor it up, Sarah Sanders, or just speed up the motion, or is that the same thing as being doctored? I think anything that manipulates the video and the audio is quote-unquote doctored.
And again, she didn't do it. Someone else did it, but then she shared it.
Which just makes them sound lazy, if nothing else. I mean, if you're going to manipulate it or try and con everybody, at least do it yourself, at least own it. Because if you steal it from somebody else, which is apparently what happened, the world will figure that out. I mean, right now, everything. There's too many eyeballs. People find stuff out. You're not going to get away with any of those shenanigans.
I think it shows that they're kind of, I don't know if the right word is naive or what, that they weren't alert enough. It's like we fell for a phishing scam. You know, she should have recognized it for being fake.
Right.
Rather than, you know, just quickly, I don't know if she put it on Facebook
or retweeted
or whatever.
Oh, you think Sarah Sanders didn't know? She knew where she was getting it, but maybe they didn't know that it had been manipulated. Is that what you're saying?
I got to figure that's what, I don't, I think that's probably what happened. I think they shared it real quickly, you know, and then it was shown to be fake, and they just haven't stood up to say we made a mistake there.
Our bad, we shouldn't have done that.
Right.
You could still fall on what I... This is the reason I think you and I got into this argument today and why I'm frustrating to a lot of people, because then the argument would have broken down this way. It would not have been over the manipulation of the video. I think this conversation about that is kind of silly. I think what's more important is that the press has... that the president has thrown Acosta and CNN out. That, I think, is what's more important. So... all of this other stuff to me is tangential to that. And they could still have that point. They could still say that if you guys are going to be nothing but argument, boy, this is harder to do, isn't it? I mean, really, why did you kick Acosta out? Because he's argumentative? The press gets to be that way. Well, I guess the reason they said they did was because he acted inappropriately towards the intern,
no,
right?
Well, no, I don't know. You heard the president today say it wasn't it. Remember that cut you played? The president said, yeah, you know, he should have done that, but that wasn't really the reason for it. I think it was more his attitude toward the president. Hmm. I think they're two, and I do think, John, you goad me on here, but I think they're two separate incidents, frankly. The one is sharing it, and the other is disciplining a reporter.
The one is sharing it, meaning the video.
Sharing the video, I think. Yeah. The White House press secretary sharing a fake video is, you know, a separate
and it's beyond the pale. That one really ticks you off.
It does.
Raja Krishnamurthy is the recently reelected Democratic congressman from the Chicago area. He's been on this show many times. This is not why we called you today, Raj, but why don't you jump in on this conversation? Welcome to the show again. How are you?
Hey, John. I'm doing great. Can you hear me? Sorry, I'm on a cell phone.
You sound fine, and congratulations. You had a... I won't say an easy victory, but the margin was considerable between you and your opponent. Congratulations on your win.
Hey, thank you so much. I've never had a race called in my favor with only 1% of the vote having been counted. So it was quite a night.
I was struck by that point. Just jump in here to the conversation. Tell us what your reaction to this Jim Acosta situation is, Congressman.
It's deeply disturbing. I actually saw the interchange as it was happening on TV, and then I'm hearing about this video that appears to be doctored, and it's very troubling. But the most troubling aspect is when the president just tore into him personally, and after mail bombs had been sent to CNN and others. And after the terrible violence of the past couple of weeks at the Pittsburgh synagogue and elsewhere, why would we go down this path again? This type of rhetoric is just so dangerous and inflammatory.
Talk to me a little bit about what's going to happen next with the Attorney General's office. Do you have an opinion about this Whitaker guy? And is there any constitutional reason why he should or should not be the Attorney General?
I'm very concerned about the events of the past few days. The circumstances surrounding Jeff Sessions' firing are suspicious, and I'm sure that the special counsel is probably going to further interview Jeff Sessions about this. But then Mr. Whitaker, he's somebody who has not been shy about believing that the Mueller investigation is not credible, that it should be undermined, and to put him in charge is really very disturbing, to say the least. I'm on the Oversight Committee, and we're going to be in the majority in the next session, and I'm sure that this is a subject that's going to take our attention from the get-go.
What does that mean? What does the Oversight Committee do?
Well, right now it doesn't do a lot. A lot of people think it's the lack of Oversight Committee, given how it's kind of turned a blind eye to a lot of the ethical lapses and corruption running rampant in a lot of agencies. But what it's supposed to do is, act as a check and balance on the administration, trying to root out fraud, waste, fraud, and abuse at the agencies, trying to figure out how to run the government more efficiently. And, of course, digging into questions such as the one that, Mr. Whitaker's appointment raises, which is when the ethics guidelines, for instance, even in the DOJ, would call for him recusing himself, given his past statements and positions regarding the Mueller investigation, the fact that he would ignore that ethics advice really kind of flies in the face of precedent, regardless of whether it was a Democratic or a Republican administration, and potentially the law. So these are the types of questions that the Oversight Committee is supposed to look into.
I was surprised on election night, Congressman, how quickly some of the commentators were saying now that the House will be controlled by Democrats and there will be these oversight issues that they can begin to look more closely at impeachment. Do you think that the House will be doing that? And do you think they should be doing that?
This is not something that we should be looking at first. I published an op-ed in the Chicago Tribune yesterday morning, and in there I said, We have to act as a check and balance. We have to exercise our constitutional duty of oversight. But at the same time, we got to figure out areas where we can actually work together with the other side and you know, deliver some wins for the American people. I pointed to two things in particular. One is, you know, trying to lower prescription drug prices. The president said that this is one of his personal priorities, and if he's serious about it, then we should actually work with the other side and the president to deal with this issue. And then the other area that I pointed out to was infrastructure investment. Again, I think there's a bipartisan appetite for doing something on this issue, and I'd like to see us move forward on it.
Can you do that without running up even more debt? What is it, $24 trillion or something like that? I mean, we're all for infrastructure spending, but I'm a little worried about any kind of spending right now.
It's a good point. I think that the tax bill that just recently became law last year really put us in the hole, and it's really going to hurt Illinois in a lot of ways, especially my district and the suburbs and so forth. That being said, not doing something about our infrastructure could yield some worse outcomes down the road. You know, we're just seeing bridges, roads, other infrastructure, water infrastructure, which we've talked about in the past, with the lead problem and so forth, really, you know, reaching a very, very dangerous state of affairs. And so if we really want to keep our economy going strong, I think that infrastructure investment is absolutely necessary.
I don't know how you're going to pay for it. I mean, I guess you just put it on the credit card, but shoot. Usually the Republicans and Democrats are fighting over this kind of spending of money we don't have, and now everybody seems to be in lockstep. That makes me nervous, Raj.
I think that, like, for instance, with infrastructure investment, you know, there are different ways to go about it. You know, in some cases, they might involve user fees. It might involve some private capital for the construction of new infrastructure. I don't believe in privatizing public infrastructure that already exists. But the point is, if we don't engage in this type of investment, you know, we're going to further see, for instance, I'll just give you an example. In my own area, we have the Elgin O'Hare Expressway, which neither reaches Elgin nor O'Hare currently. And we finally forged an agreement with different parties involved, the Canadian Pacific Railroad and the Illinois Tollway Authority, to finally allow for access, western access to O'Hare. And that infrastructure investment is actually paid for with tollway dollars. But if you don't do those types of, if you don't do that particular investment, you're going to have the highways all around O'Hare continue to be congested, which basically leads to further delays on the expressways and environmental problems. And you don't have the economic development in the western suburbs. So, I think infrastructure investment can pay for itself in the long run if it's done properly.
What about the Mueller investigation if this new attorney general is in place? And you kind of get the feeling the president likes him because he doesn't like the investigation. Is this going to shorten it? Do you have any idea about the timetable for what Mueller and his people are doing?
So my assumption is that Mr. Mueller is thinking about, you know, wrapping up his investigation in one form or another and perhaps producing a report. That's what, you know, a lot of folks have been saying in Washington. My concern, quite frankly, is that if he produces a report and he delivers it to the, in this case, the acting attorney general, and it has certain recommendations, that the acting attorney general would not share it with Congress and wouldn't share the evidence or findings. I am also concerned that he may decide to curtail the special counsel's budget, or he may just decide to end the investigation and fire the special counsel. I think that any of the latter two actions, either of those latter two actions, would definitely prompt a pretty strong response in the Congress. I think it would lead to, you know, further investigations and hearings, and you know, if there was obstruction of justice involved, then I think absolutely there would be a call for impeachment.
Did you intimate that maybe we won't get a chance to see the results of the Mueller investigation?
Yeah, so there's a debate right now. Again, I think it will probably end up in court if this actually happens, whether the Attorney General could sit on the report and not share it with Congress. And my understanding is that within the regulations, if the special counsel makes a recommendation, for instance, he says, we want to indict Don Jr., just as an example, not that I'm saying it's going to happen, but if he made that recommendation and the special counsel then said, no, I'm not, I'm sorry, the acting Attorney General said, no, we are not going down that road, my understanding is that in that case, it would have to be reported to Congress that the Attorney General disagreed with a key finding or recommendation of the special counsel, and we would then be able to look into it further. But there's another school of thought that the Attorney General doesn't have to do that. And I'm very concerned that, you know, we might be going down that road. Again, I think there'd be incredible fury if we didn't have a chance to learn of the findings.
Well, no kidding. I mean, I would think both sides would be interested in the results. So if it's $12 million and it's futile, I think the Republicans would like to at least see the evidence and make their case. And I think if you're not of that mind, then you even more so want to see the results. I can't think of one good reason to not share it with the Congress, and for that matter, with the American people, unless it, you know, compromises somebody's safety or something. But if this is at the end of the day about the Russians hacking our election, I think we all have to know what the Mueller investigation found out.
You're absolutely right, and that's the part where I think that we've kind of gone off the rails a little bit, because at the end of the day, the Mueller investigation in part was obviously to find out what happened in 2016 and to figure out whether something criminally wrong had happened. But on the other hand, it's about protecting our election infrastructure, protecting the democracy that we cherish from further interference in the future. You know, the Russians have their Christopher Wray, the FBI director, said that the red lights are blinking and the Russians have nefarious designs on our elections now and in 2020. And so we can't not investigate this and figure out how do we protect ourselves.
And then share it with the people. Rajan Krishnamoorthy, reelected to the Congress. It's nice to talk to you again, Raj. Visit us in studio sometime. It's always a pleasure to hear from you.
Yes, sir. Thank you again.
Did you see the story out of, I'm not exactly sure what airline this is, Philippine Airlines? Did anybody read the Philippine Airlines story today?
I have not seen that one, John, no.
A flight attendant noticed that a mother with a young child was on the plane. The child was crying. She went up and she said, "What's the problem?" And she said, "My baby is hungry and I did not pack formula." There was no formula on the plane.
Okay, don't finish this story, please.
So what happened is what you think happened. The flight attendant picked up the baby, and she went to the galley where the flight attendants sit, and she breastfed the baby for her because she has a small baby back at home. She said, "I got you covered, girl." And then she brought her back when the baby had fallen asleep after feeding, while feeding, in fact, and handed her back, and the teary-eyed mother said, "Thank you."
Wow.
This is the sort of story that then ends in some sort of outrageous disciplinary action or something like that. But that's the end of the story. Isn't that wonderful?
So is the female body.
The U.S. Food and Drug Administration. I know. Trust me. Guys do not understand this.
I don't understand this.
The U.S. Food and Drug Administration recommends checking with a doctor before feeding a baby breast milk from another mother. Feeding a baby milk from a woman who is not the mother risks exposing the child to infections and diseases, sometimes illegal drugs, and who knows what else, chemical contaminants.
No more than flying on a plane filled with strangers. I mean,
really, if we can survive the flight.
Wet nurses used to be pretty common, right?
That's just what I'm thinking. That is a thing. It's just that we are all so squeamish these days, and that's what I love about this story. It's like The human body is an amazing thing. Human history is filled with this practice. The lady did the other lady a solid, and everybody wins.
Actually, it was a liquid, but...
I shouldn't have said solid just as soon as it left my mouth. Thank you, Steve Bertrand. This is John Williams, 238. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio, downtown Chicago. Fridays at this time, producer Elif kicks it off with the tune. What do we got?
You're listening to Elle King, who will be playing the Vic tomorrow at 7:30. Tickets are $33 on VicTheater.com.
This is our little segment where we feature some things we think you might enjoy doing. This sounds like fun. So the hearts
keep breaking. I love her.
Is this the singer you were telling me is related to...
Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider. This is Rob Schneider's daughter?
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, they're gonna run back to me. Cause I'm the best baby that they never gotta keep. 1, 2, 3, they're gonna run back to me. They always wanna come, but they never wanna leave.
Violetta strolled into Studio D. What do you like this weekend?
The 30th anniversary Celebrity Chef's Ball is going on. That is tonight. It's going to be at Morgan Manufacturing. It's a lineup of amazing chefs from Blackbird, Ada, Publican. Tickets are ranging from $200 for individuals, $400 for VIPs. You can find them at eventbrite.com. And all of this is in support of Meals on Wheels Chicago.
Art on the Mart continues. I just want to throw a few things that have been ongoing and you might not have done yet. It's where they project those amazing light displays on the side of the Merchandise Mart downtown on the river. And it's through the weekend, 7:15 to 9:15 in the evening. Are you downtown? Don't miss Art on the Mart, 7:15 to 9:15. It's sure free.
You can attend the Indoor Chicago Summer Festival at Taste of Ravenswood. That's also tonight, Ravenswood's event center. And it's going to be music, food, everything from the neighborhood. VIP tickets are including access to chefs and breweries with unlimited bites and taste. Tickets are ranging from $60 to $75.
Hello Dolly is showing at the Oriental Theater through the 17th. Tickets start at $27. Go to BroadwayInChicago.com. 4 stars for Hello Dolly in the Chicago Tribune.
You can cap off election season with Bill Burr at the Chicago Theater. The politically incorrect funny man is going to be there. He's going to be on the Chicago stage after the midterms now. And you've been warned, he's not politically correct. Tickets are ranging $144, and you can find them on StubHub.
By the way, Jurassic Quest begins today at 3 at Navy Pier. This is giant animatronic dinosaurs. If you got somebody that's into that thing, it's at 3 today, 9 o'clock tomorrow morning and Sunday at Navy Pier. Tickets start at $20. JurassicQuest.com. They always want to come, but they
never want to leave. Wow Bao is having the National Championship Bao Eating Competition Saturday, 2 p.m. at Water Tower Place. How many baos? Those are those little bready, meaty Asian things.
I had the teriyaki one today.
So good. And you have to eat as many as you can in 2 minutes, and then you win unlimited Bao, Wow Bao for a year.
Here's the sports lineup for the weekend. The Bulls host the Cavaliers tomorrow night at the United Center. That's at 7. Be interesting to see what that team looks like these days. They got off to a bad start. Hawks are on the road tomorrow night. Our pregame coverage will start at 11:30 from Philadelphia. So either 11:30 is wrong or tomorrow night is wrong. But the Hawks on the road tomorrow night. Northwestern Wildcats tomorrow travel to Iowa. Pregame coverage starts at 2 here. And the Bears host the Lions at noon on Sunday.
John, can we ever get enough walks or runs?
Wait, I don't.
No.
Yes, I think we can.
No. There's a fall-themed one coming up tomorrow, the Hot Cider Hustle 8K. You can walk or run that. It kicks off from Montrose Harbor. And there's apple cider at the finish line. Tickets are about $40 to sign up.
Two things else I'll just mention, then we'll wrap this bad boy up. Maybe you got one more for us, V. And that is John and Dave's Excellent Adventure. Go to WGN's, go to my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John on Facebook. And you still have time. We're going to close it at 3 o'clock. If you like or share the video at the top, you can win tickets to The Suite with me and Elif and David Hochberg for the Monday night game at the United Center. You've got just enough time to go to my Facebook page. And an encounter with Teddy Roosevelt. I'm going to be on stage with President Roosevelt tomorrow at 10:30 in the morning in Elgin. Tickets at WGN.com, WGNradio.com/events. One more?
I got one more. I don't fully understand the event, but it sounds fun. You can partake in an exotic armchair world traveling. They have an adventure film festival going on, and that's in connection with the Sierra Clubs of Chicago. Basically, it's inspiring you to get off your butt and get into nature. And there's some videos about it.
Right.
Before you do it. So, armchairs and traveling.
You got a website on that?
It's going to be at the Music Box, so you can get tickets there. It's on Sunday, and tickets are ranging from $20 to $45.
$2.43 now on WGN. Okay, what's your bright side? Time to call. Time to text. 312-981-7200. Give us some good news in your world. Tell us why you're smiling. This is the way we wrap up the week and start the weekend before Ro and Anna come in. We want to hear what your good news is. That's the bright side. Our bright side segment is sponsored by our friends at the Joint Relief Institute. So here we go with our little song.
Some things in life are bad.
Call me.
They can really make you mad.
Got an open phone line.
Other things just make you swear and curse.
Call me, call me, call me. We could use some good news.
When you're chewing on life's gristle.
I'm counting on you.
Grumble, give a whistle.
You want something to smile about?
And this'll help things turn out for the best.
Listen to this man whistle.
And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on
312-981-7200. Thank you, Kevin in sports.
It's hard when I'm laughing.
On Fridays, we want to know what your good news is. Hey, whistling guy, what's your bright side? What's some good news in Kevin's world?
Oh, we got another weekend packed of football. Northwestern can inch closer to a Big Ten West crown. And the Bears looking to snap a 10-game losing streak against the division. I'm smelling a Bears victory Sunday against the Lions.
Violetta, why are you smiling? What's some good news in your world?
I get to wear UGG boots again without people judging me.
More like uglies.
Hey.
Sorry. Hey, what's the one?
Sorry.
We only have one rule on the bright side. And two bright sides.
They're beautiful boots. The best boots.
There is no judging other people's happiness.
They might not be beautiful, but they're comfortable.
My bright side is I'm seeing some friends from out of town who I haven't seen in a long time this weekend, so I'm looking forward to their company and conversation. How about you? What's making you smile? Here we go. Hey, Patrick, you're on WGN. Give me some good news, Pat. Why are you smiling?
I am leaving for Dallas to sign papers to move down there and get the hell out of Illinois.
We're going to miss you, Patrick. Thanks for being one of the gang.
Always look on the light side.
Hey, Michael, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Mike?
My daughter just got married, a beautiful outdoor ceremony at a resort in Wisconsin. We then went to New Orleans. I surprised my wife and renewed our vows on our 40th anniversary. And she is now retiring this Friday after many years of working.
What a good guy that Michael is. Hey, Marge, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Marge?
Because my daughter, who's 29 years old, has a serious boyfriend, and I'm thrilled.
Okay.
Why are you smiling? Give me some good news over there.
217, no more political commercials. And then 708, my bright side is I get to go see Teddy Roosevelt with you. And I'm in the front row.
Oh, nice. Hey, we're so glad you're going to come along. Here we go. Kathy, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Kath?
I am smiling because my son and daughter-in-law are returning from the Philippines after adopting our 13th grandchild.
Oh, wow. Oh, what a good... So you haven't met him at the airport yet, huh?
No, we can't meet him until Thanksgiving.
And they don't have all 13.
No, they don't.
Okay,
they're not showing up at all 13.
I've got three other sons.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
There's something you forgot.
Now, what do you got?
815, I finally asked a girl out and she said yes. 773 says it's Dad's 90th birthday.
Hey, Tina, why are you smiling? You're on WGN. What's your good news?
I actually have two. Yesterday, my son was sworn in by the Illinois Bar Association as an attorney.
Oh, woo-woo. Wow.
And tonight, one of my closest friends is driving up from Kankakee with her grandson. We're going to have dinner. She's staying overnight. And tomorrow, we're seeing Teddy Roosevelt.
Oh, wow. What a great weekend.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for letting us be part of it. You will not be disappointed.
I'm really excited, and so is her grandson. He's really into history, so.
I'm so glad you called. Have a great time. My friend Amy Curran's bringing her son. He's a middle school student, I think, and he's into history, and he's loading up a question. I love it when parents bring the kids.
Yes, it's a good experience.
It is. What else you got?
I've got 815 says, I asked my boss to work 80 hours, and he said yes. I guess they're looking forward to the overtime. And then also, after 7 consecutive weeks of traveling, I'm finally home. Never thought I'd be so excited to cook and clean.
Hey, Joanne, you're on WGN. What's the good news for you?
I just want to let you know my husband and other Vietnam veterans were honored at the Blackhawks game last night.
Oh, wow. Oh, I'll bet that was wonderful for you guys.
Great.
Oh, wow. Well, you get goosebumps any night before a Blackhawks game. And then when they, later in the game, it was later in the game when they honor a specific guy, right? Or was it for the national anthem on the ice?
It was for the national anthem on the ice. Wow. It was a big group of veterans.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, I'm so glad you shared that. Thanks for calling and thank you for his service.
Thanks, John.
They're both there. He's listening on the line. That's so nice. My buddy Jim Zwitt is a multi-award winner from the Vietnam era. He's a great friend. He has told his story on this radio station about his heroism and his service. He is going to Arizona to give a speech to people down there and tell his story about what servicemen and women have done for us. It's one of the most inspiring things. Jimmy, congratulations to you. What have you got, Violetta?
847, the snow is melting, and on the flip side of that, 920 is getting out of town. They're headed to Costa Rica.
Sally, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Sally? What's your good news?
Well, I can't stop smiling. A good friend of mine gave me a gift of a trip to New Zealand. I'm not going until March, but I'm very, very, very excited. I've never been anywhere.
And now you're going to New Zealand.
Yes.
Have fun.
That is a good friend. Well, thanks for the call and have a great trip.
Thank you. I will.
Yeah, you will. Are you kidding me? Yeah, you will.
Yeah, you will.
Real quick here, let's go to, where was it? This is just kind of unusual. I think it's Gretchen. Hey, Gretchen, are you there? You're on WGN. What's your bright side, Gretchen?
I am. My bright side is that my daughters and my dog are performing in the Rosary High School performance of The Wizard of Oz this weekend at my alma mater.
Oh, is she Dorothy? Dorothy and Toto?
No. My dog is Toto in Kansas scenes, and my other daughter is Toto in the Oz scenes. And then my oldest daughter is an extra in a whole bunch of different roles.
So what town? Who's putting this on?
In Aurora at Rosary High School. It's an all-girls school.
Well, congratulations. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
We do this on Fridays. You call in, tell us some good news in your world while you're smiling, and we smile with you.
So nice. Today felt really good.
We needed. Yeah, you guys run your game.
Yeah.
Good ones, nice voices. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for calling and texting 312-981-7200. By the way, about half a dozen people, maybe more, are going to get something very nice too, and that is a call from my producer, Elif, because, hey, David Hochberg, are you there?
I'm here, Johnny. How are you?
Pretty good. Thank you for sharing your center suite tickets with us for Monday night's game at the United Center.
Center court suite. Game starts at 7, John. Just want to get that out there.
I've said 7:30 100 times. I think they've actually going to move the game to accommodate me.
For the game for you. Yeah,
they go, all right, fine. Okay, we'll do it at 7:30, damn it. Okay,
that John Williams is always a half hour late. We want to make sure he's in this.
We said you've got until 3 o'clock. If you like or share the post on my Facebook page, we've pinned it to the top. You'll automatically be registered for the free tickets up in the suite, the dessert cart, the whole shebang.
You don't want to miss it. That suite is nice.
It is sweet. So thank you, Mr. Hochberg, for that. It's John and Dave's Excellent Adventure 2.0. I got to go, but I'll see you Monday night, Dave.
Yes, sir. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
And thank you, Team Hochberg,
at
for
7, you'll
making
see
that a lot of fun. The time is critical.